This podcast contains explicit content. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to the Creepy Cannabis Podcast, where we chat all things creepy, cannabis, true crime, paranormal, and weird. I'm Madeline.
I'm Rachel.
And we're back.
You know, the OGs, they get it. They know we're unreliable.
It's on brand, if you really think about it.
I mean, true. Because how many people out there are just like us? Like, do they want to do a good job? Yeah. Do they?
Yeah.
It's a matter of perspective.
It's hard.
It is.
It's hard in these streets.
And you know, this is my first time visiting Maddie's apartment, and it's so exciting. Sean was sad he didn't get to come.
I know.
Well, I shouldn't say he didn't get to come. He did, in fact, make a choice to bail on his plans with us for his plans with his friend.
It makes sense to me.
However,
ultimately,
it is probably like his best friend in the whole world, and he always makes so much effort to see Sean. Like, he always makes effort to come into town and do things. So anytime he wants to hang out, I'm always like,
go.
Please go.
Literally.
That's your boy.
Boy.
It's your boy, Blue. Plus, besides, if I was like, oh, I'm going to stay with Maddie for 3 months, he'd be like, okay, love you.
Love you, bye.
Yeah. Just kiss. He would, however, drop all the cats off here.
No.
Oh, my God. I got to meet Maddie's roommate's cat. It's the fluffiest, most beautiful cat, but she did not like it.
No, she's scared.
She did not care for it. She did let me pet her. It was mostly against her will, however.
Fully against her will.
Mostly. She could have fought harder to escape my grasp. I was supposed to have so much more stuff done and life.
Life.
I told Maddie earlier, I feel like I haven't had literally 2 moments to rub together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that just what happens when you get older? Like, just, there's no time.
Yeah. And then you gain time in ways, and you still have no time.
Yeah. It's like the concept that you can't catch up on sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once it's gone, it's gone. And the time, she's slipping.
She keeps going.
Well, I just, like, I don't remember so many obligations. Mm-hmm. We literally have, I'm at the point now where if, like, you legit text me and you're like, hey, let's hang out, I'd have to be like, yeah, I have some time in December.
Literally.
It's ridiculous.
You have to plan that shit.
Yeah, in advance. Oh, my God, my brother got so mad at me because, like, I wasn't able to make it to, like, something at his house because I had Braylon. And he was like, oh, so what you're saying is I have to book you weeks in advance. And I was like, yeah. See.
I'm kind of in demand.
Not in demand. No. That's adorable. Okay. What you smoking?
So today, the strain is called Lucid Blue.
That's cool.
Which, some of the people involved in the topic today need some lucidity. That's for goddamn sure.
That's a whole fact.
But this strain is a sativa dominant hybrid. It is crossed with Amnesia Haze.
Oh, not had,
like,
amnesia.
Some amnesia about this episode topic.
Oh, God, fuck, I forgot this one was gonna go first.
And so Amnesia Haze and Blue Dream, love Blue Dream. That's one of my favorite strains. And it's known for its very clarifying high. You can do it at a wake and bake. If you'd like a little energy and motivation in the context of, you know, having just consumed cannabis, of course. And the effects are really good for treating migraines or headaches, nausea, chronic stress, chronic fatigue. And it has like a sweet, fruity, blueberry taste with like a spicy earth on the exhale.
That sounds so good, and I would love to smell it, but I had the COVID. Just to clarify, I am vaccinated. I still was assaulted. I don't want y'all assuming it's because I was not vaccinated.
No, I know. A lot of people are getting it.
I did my part for society at this time. and I got hit. And then I spread it. You want the lighter?
Ashtray. Yeah, it's crazy. COVID is, like, when is it going to go away?
Oh, it's not. I also
have that metal thing.
Yes. This one? Mm-hmm. It's not going to go away. I think that, you know, we did the best we could to make it so certainly not everyone got it all at the same time. And now I'm sure there's some natural antibodies at this point with how long it's been out. So I think it's going to be like the flu in the sense that you're just going to have to get, like, your vaccines yearly and just take care of yourself and hope for the best.
Yeah.
I don't really know, because I'm so fucking high. Let's be honest. Who fucking knows what I'm even talking about? I sure don't.
It's better that way sometimes.
It's better that way every day. I literally smoke so much that my nephew the other day was like, maybe we should, like, slow down. And I was like, yeah, totally.
No. There's never a time to not smoke.
Okay, real quick before you get into this, I have to tell them what just happened to me with our dinner.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm trying to be healthier, right? I was like, I'm going to get a salad place. So there's a salad place close by. I look up this wrap. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds amazing. I'll add some avocado. Cool. Didn't pay enough attention. I'm eating, you know, my wrap tastes delicious. I'm like, oh my God, this healthy wrap is so good. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, that was me smacking my lips in disgust and confusion. I have never, by choice, ever tasted this item before, and having it forced upon you, it's honestly almost worse than having Amber Heard's face available to me at all times. It was fucking blue cheese. The people out there like blue cheese can go fuck yourselves. Yeah, you too. It literally smells like, feels like, and tastes like foot gunk.
It's so good.
I don't even what part of the ass flavor tastes so it delicious tastes on your like lips?
Just pungent cheese.
Pungent.
Yeah.
Listen, people, don't fucking do it. So then I had to unroll the wrap, perform surgery, get a fork, poke around on different pieces, sniff them to make sure they didn't smell the stench of betrayal, and then take a bite. That's all I needed to say, okay?
The trauma.
Yeah. What are we talking about today?
Well, in light of the recently leaked initial 90-page document from our lovely Supreme Court, that pretty much indicates that if Roe versus Wade were to be brought up again, that they would, in fact, overturn it.
Mm-hmm. What a shock.
The 14th Amendment of our Constitution.
We'll just change it.
Like, we don't need that anymore.
No.
Because going backwards makes sense.
Well, they saw Handmaid's Tale and they were like, that's an idea.
They're like, hold on now. I actually watched TikTok today, and this is excellent point. The number of births since COVID has gone down so significantly that in a lot of states they were seeing more deaths than births, like, on a monthly basis, to the point where now the global elite has probably decided, you know what, how do we keep people poor and in the working class and dependent and make sure that there's enough people, since there's not enough people being born, that will at least be able to fill the roles in which we need them to fill.
But then these dumb motherfuckers want to make it a felony to pursue IVF. They want to make it a felony to have a miscarriage.
They need to make sure that people are having babies so that they can.
But then why are you going to make it a felony to do IVF? That's more babies. You're just dumb fucks with nothing else to do than twiddle your fucking ball skin around. I'm so angry. I have a lot of pent-up rage about this.
I know. It just doesn't make any sense. And the thing about abortion is, whatever your beliefs may be, there's a medical necessity for a lot of people, to the point where it's uncomfortable, an uncomfortable decision that you have to make.
But that's also irrelevant. It could just be because, I don't know, your body belongs to you. And I have something to say to all the religious fanatics, because I'm starting to think, like, Christians have never read the Bible in their lives. Let me let you know something. Mm-hmm. If you cheated on your husband in the fucking Bible and got pregnant, you would go to this fucking high priest who would give you the special medicine, and then you would bleed. It doesn't take a fucking rocket scientist. They low-key were just giving women abortions because they cheated and they couldn't have illegitimate children. So I'm just confused as to which god they're like talking about, because ours was often babies 10,000 BC. I don't know. I don't know.
He's been staying off in them babies.
In the Orthodox Jewish community that my mom cleans for, one of the women there confided in me that she had an almost identical experience to my abortion. The same, similar reasoning, similar,
medical circumstances.
Yes, and like similar, distance along, or I couldn't figure out how to word it. Mm-hmm. And may I remind you that, the people of Israel are, in fact, God's chosen fucking people. Mm. He handpicked those motherfuckers. And guess what she did? She had an abortion. Because guess what? Her life was more important. Because the Bible says the life of the mother is more important than the life of the child. Ooh, or what about the time that, I don't know, 20 different times, he told them to go into villages and not to leave until every man, woman, and child was killed. I'm just wondering what god they're talking about.
Which book you're reading?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, like, which one. Like, which one?
Could you point to the page?
Yeah, like, reference, please. Receipts.
Receipts.
That's all. I didn't mean to go on that rant, but, like, I got it in my heart.
Yeah.
Which I think most...
It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense for their goal.
Yeah. Well, today's story is tragically about a woman named Jerry Santoro. I'll start with, on June 8th, 1964, she married her lover, Clyde Dixon, and checked into a now-closed motel with no suitcases, nothing like that. Instead, she was 6.5 months pregnant, and she was prepared to let him perform her illegal abortion because... there's backstory to that I'll get into. And she basically started hemorrhaging during the process, and he panicked, abandoning her in the motel room to bleed to death on the floor.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It wasn't until the next day that a maid discovered her naked body, and basically she was collapsed over her... She was kneeling on the floor, and she fell forward, and it was just... a blood-soaked sheet on top of her. And that's how he left her.
That is fucking horrible.
So she was trying to terminate an unwanted and dangerous pregnancy. And obviously it was 1964, which was the time before Roe versus Wade. And there were many, many, many opponents to legal abortion in Illinois, and pretty much all over the country. So she was born on August 16th, 1935. She grew up with 10 brothers and 4 sisters in an old farmhouse.
Jesus Christ, I can't even make one baby.
I know. In rural Connecticut. Being the youngest of 15 children born on a farm, she was a product of her time, in which men pretty much were allowed to do whatever they wanted with women. Like, that was just the time when...
fuck it.
You don't literally get a say.
Yes, literally. Correct.
But her family and friends recall fond memories of her. She liked to climb trees, and she and her best friend would sneak out of school to change out of their dress code, like uniforms, and play hooky.
Aww.
And apparently she always smelled like juicy fruit gum.
What a sweet, sweet soul.
But when she was 18 years old, basically in a rush to get married, because back then, pretty much everyone got married when they were 18, she decided to marry a man that she had only met 4 weeks before that at a bus stop.
A bus stop?
And his name was Sam Santoro. Mm. So he would go on to father two daughters with her, all of whom would become victims of his physical abuse.
Great. Great.
Because why not? That's just how it went back then. And then there was pretty much no network for anyone to reach out to. There was no one that you could go to.
I mean, look, you can barely get that now.
You literally really can't.
So, I mean, they'll tell you you can, but you can't.
So, one day she met Clyde Dixon, 43-year-old Clyde Dixon, and he worked with her at the Mansfield Training School, and he was really nice to her, and he cared for her, so she took him as her lover.
Oh, she took him as her lover, okay.
And Sam was apparently living and working in California at that time, so he was away from the house.
Okay.
But she found herself pregnant, and she pretty much feared for her safety of when Sam was going to come back and probably kill her.
I mean, yeah, he's already abusing you, and now you're pregnant with another man's baby.
So, after having endured, like, all of that physical and mental abuse, basically, she got pregnant. There was no options back then. You couldn't get an abortion. That wasn't a thing. There was not a doctor that you could go to. There was nowhere safe that you would be able to terminate that. So by the time they've gotten to desperation, she's like, what, 6 months along?
Yeah.
And he's coming back from California soon. And so she basically checked into this motel.
Wait, the guy that's doing the abortion is her lover?
Mm-hmm.
And he left her there, like?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So they checked into the motel room, and yeah, she basically died alone after he attempted and failed to abort the fetus with a catheter.
How are you gonna... You have to put something in the catheter. Catheter's flimsy, I feel. Maybe I'm wrong. I guess they're kind of firm. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know, but...
Who knows what he's poking around in up there?
Yeah, she was basically pushed to the point of desperation where she went to a hotel room, checked in, and let her partner use a catheter to somehow do a back alley abortion.
And then to just be there, dying alone, thinking of your other children, this person that you believed loved you, like the real word, who you risked everything for, left you and couldn't even have the stomach to stay with you until you died.
No, he freaked out and left.
Like, the last thing this poor woman saw is the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I hate people.
And she was forced into that hotel room by policies that stripped her right to control her body and make decisions, whether they be because she didn't want to go through with that pregnancy or because it was a medical necessity. Those laws didn't exist. So now these policies are making a comeback. I mean, essentially, in every state and at the federal level, the right to choose is becoming just that, a choice for the states. Because once they overturn Roe versus Wade, it's going to go to the state level. And many states, I've seen a map actually of what the estimated like red versus blue in terms of where you would be able to get one. It's essentially the entire country is red except for California, New York, Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island. Florida and Maryland are like in the middle, yellow.
I'm not surprised about Florida, but I am surprised about Maryland.
And it's like, that's pretty fucking scary. Because essentially, if you cannot afford to travel and afford the medical expense, which is very high, I think it's like $1,000
to
a procedure in some cases.
For the yeah. abortion, yeah, mine was. Mine was almost $1,000.
Yeah.
If you don't have insurance.
Which a lot of people don't, because we live in this country in which there is no universal health care or access to really affordable health care.
I can't right now. I simply cannot.
But that's where it all comes into play. Like, if you cared about human life, you would have instituted universal healthcare or some sort of healthcare system similar to every other industrialized country in the fucking world.
1,000%.
That cares for its citizens and makes sure that once they're actually born, they will survive.
But they don't care about human life. They care about power and control. Mm-hmm. And there was a senator I was watching today, I believe a senator, and she said it best. She was like, if you take away the right to choose, that person is no longer a citizen. You don't have freedom mm-hmm. of choice.
Yes.
You're not a citizen.
Because it's really funny that the man can choose to walk out the door and not want to deal with it anymore.
Correct.
But if you don't want to go through that, put your body through that, you're a fucking asshole.
For me, it's more so like, okay, I'm going to be very honest and transparent, and I've been thinking a lot about this today and getting really stressed out because obviously it's a very intimate story and situation, but I also feel like you can't be upset about something and then not do anything to help the situation. So even though it kind of makes me want to die inside, I'm gonna go over a story as quickly as I can of my abortion and, like, the entirety of the situation and try to stick to the important parts. This is just, like, your warning right now. The details are super bloody and gory and graphic, so if you're not here for that, you definitely gots to go right now. You have been formally warned. It is a vile story, and it's about abortion. So, okay. So, I got pregnant with my very first IVF cycle, and at about 10 weeks, we found out that there was, like, something on the ultrasound that showed that there could be a problem, like Down syndrome or, like, another chromosome order, whatever the case, so we're trying to process that. Prior to this, while on vacation with Maddie, mm-hmm. I had a subchorionic hemorrhage where I bled literally everywhere.
That's horrible.
And thought that I had miscarried, and
we were in New Orleans.
Yes.
So they had to drive like 10 hours.
It was 16 hours.
Oh, 16 hours.
It was 16 hours.
Yeah.
And I had to continue to bleed in every McDonald's the whole way home. And, you know, so here I am. I'm scared. It's my first pregnancy. I have no idea what's going on. I'm assuming I'm miscarrying. I'm in a ton of pain. Mm-hmm. It's very painful. And now I have to do it in a disgusting communal toilet in bumfuck Alabama.
Fuck Alabama.
Bumfuck Alabama. Literally. And I'm just like, all I keep thinking is like, I'm miscarrying in all these toilets. Like, weird shit goes through your head.
Yeah.
Whatever. I find out it's not a miscarriage. It's a hemorrhage. I go to an appointment to get the hemorrhage checked a few weeks later after doing what they told me to do, and they found this abnormality. So now we're going through the trauma of, okay, we're going to love our child and choose to keep them no matter what. That was our choice. We obviously went through all these steps. There's no scenario in my mind in which an abortion would ever be necessary mm-hmm. in this situation. And we're like, okay, let's prepare for Down syndrome. We were looking at a few other things. We're like, okay, what's our life going to look like? And then I go to another appointment, and they're like, no, this is not just not minimizing Down syndrome, but they were thinking of something, like, way more serious that could be, like, fatal to me, fatal to the baby. They didn't know. Like, they really didn't know, but they just knew. Like, they're like, no, we don't think this is Down syndrome. We think this is, like, something super specific. And I'm like, okay, so then we're trying to process this information. So obviously this entire time, like, I'm getting further and further along, okay? In the state we live in, at least, I don't know if this is like a state by state law or whatever, but anything under 20 weeks is a miscarriage, and anything 20 weeks or over is a stillbirth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to like think about all that too. So I have all this going on. I have like no one to talk to because I don't even know what's happening. My poor husband, like, he's doing his best, but like, there's nothing that can prepare you for that.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, I grew up really religious, so I'm angry at God. Like, I'm just pissed.
Mm-hmm.
I am pissed, but my trauma response is you just keep going. You ignore it. Like, you just keep taking
it. Power on through.
Yeah, so I just keep going with what they're saying. In the midst of all of this, my husband forgot. I had independent health insurance that I paid, at this time I was paying like $450 a month for. A month.
Fucking America.
A month. so that I could
get cover shit.
So I could get this fertility coverage, right? And he literally missed one payment by 30 days, simply forgot to pay it because of all the trauma we were going through. He is literally dealing with me. I am crying every single day. I am, here's what we're going to talk about, right? No matter what he understood of the situation, every time I felt a flutter, every time I felt a kick, I was terrified. Every time I went to the bathroom, I was afraid there was going to be blood. A man cannot understand the lonely, gut-wrenching experience of knowing that you want this baby so bad and your body is rejecting it.
Yeah.
Your own body is attacking it. So no, I'm not thinking about how much I want a fucking abortion. Mm. I'm thinking of everything I can do and everything I can give up so that this can work out, right? So I lose my insurance. They terminate my insurance. I received one letter that I hadn't had a chance to open, and it, by the way, the letter said, you're terminated. I never received a single thing saying I was in danger of it, mm-hmm. and my phone had protection against, like, spam calls, so it had been blocking these calls from them. Like, it was just a genuine mm-hmm. fucked up situation, and they dropped me, and so now I just found out that I have to have this super expensive test to try to figure out what's wrong with my baby, and now I have no insurance, right? I get a breast lump. I get a fucking breast lump. And I'm like, okay, I have no insurance. I have no anything. I am so confused and so angry because, look, I'm not a great person. You all see me every week. But I try to be a good person.
You are.
I put so many people before myself at any waking moment.
All the time.
So I am definitely having a pity party at this point. I am like, what? I feel like Job in the fucking Bible. I'm like, you want to take my fucking cattle too? Because guess what? God did take my cat. That bitch died too. Remember? R.I.P. She was the best of us.
No.
So all this is going on. I go to get the breast lump looked at. I go to like an urgent, like, quick place. This woman looks me dead in my face and goes, oh, yeah, you really need to get that lump checked out. That's really concerning. And you're not super far along in your pregnancy, so if you have cancer, they can just terminate it. So I was like, okay.
Okay.
Okay, sounds great, right? So now I found out the insurance was terminated when I went to the appointment to have the expensive scan.
Mm.
And then the office in front of everyone, they were like, oh, you don't have insurance. And the astronomical price I would have to pay for this one test was nearly $2,000. And I'm like, what fucking working class person do you know? So I was like, okay. So at this point,
I hate it here.
I don't think I gave myself enough credit for the severity of the trauma of this situation. Only now, when I'm, like, really telling the story, am I like, bitch, you fucking survived. Yeah. And I haven't even gotten to the bad parts.
I know.
Maddie knows the story, sadly. She's been exposed to it many a time. And she's heard many a fight. Sean and I had some dark days. But we made it out.
Kind of.
We're a little different than we went in. So I'm like, okay. And then all I keep thinking in my head is, no matter what, no matter how angry I get, no matter how upset I get, Sean, I have said some mean things to Sean. We have had some terrible fights. But in my heart, in no way would I ever, am I ever going to bring up that insurance. That was, like, the most freakish mistake. There was no way to anticipate that would happen.
It doesn't make sense that they can just drop you like that. That's ridiculous.
And I feel so bad for him because he's so helpless. But you know what? My Trump-loving, extra, super white man husband said, when all this was happening, and I was freaking out about having to have an abortion, and I'm asking him what to do, he looked at me dead in my face and said, I can't tell you what to do, because it's your body, and only you know what you can do. And at the time, it made me so mad, because I was like, no, I want someone else to make this hard decision for me. And then I realized the grave importance of being a woman and the responsibility of being a woman and having a uterus. He was right. It was my choice. It was my responsibility, because no one understood that experience or that effect on my body
right.
more than me. Not just my physical body, because my mental state was so fucked at this point, I thought I was gonna die. So, okay, that's where we are. So then I start producing milk. I'm like, great. I way premature. I have milk. I'm getting further along. At this point, I think I was 15 weeks along. So still pretty early, but second trimester, like, and I'm like, this whole time, you know, this baby is growing, like, and then I'm getting more and more panicked because, like I said, I'm going to be very transparent. I grew up religious. For me, abortion was never going to be an option. Not that I care what another single soul does, but I had always decided, accidental mm-hmm. pregnancy,
yeah.
whatever. I was like, no, I know myself, and I want to have that baby no matter what. It doesn't matter if there's something physically wrong or whatever. I don't care. Okay. So my mom, bless her sweet, sweet soul, she's like, okay, like, we got to figure something out. So I think at some point she's just like, let me come up. That's what it was. She wanted to come up with some money to help me to pay for this, like, test I needed. So in the interim, you know, we didn't really know what to do. So he was like, well, let's go. Sean was like, well, let's go. We'll get, like, one of those scans so we can at least find out the gender and, like, whatever. So I go to this, like, place that's not medical. They just do, like, the sonograms or whatever. And he's, like, really, really low in my uterus and upside down and just, like, not moving at all. And I can see the look on her face. And I think that was the first time that I was like, it's not going to happen. Like, this might not happen. So I was like, okay. So again, my trauma response is just to accept information and just, like, carry on. And she's not saying anything, and she's just, like, pushing on my stomach and pushing the thing over and over again. And eventually he flips over and he, like, kicks his little foot, and I had, like, this little relief, and I was like, okay. But in my soul, when I tell you, like, in my bones, I knew it wasn't. I just knew. I could just feel it everywhere. And I'm like, okay. She was like, oh, I can't really tell the gender. Come back in, like, a week. I come back in a week, and I don't know what happened, but you can't, like, see him at all. It's like my uterus just looks like these weird blobs. Like, I didn't really understand what I was looking at, and I could tell that she, at this point, was like, the look on her face was like, this is a done deal. And I could just see it, and I was like, okay. Okay, but there, you know, in my mind, I'm like, there's still hope. I don't really know what I'm looking at. I can kind of see his head. I'm like, okay. You know, I hadn't looked up ultrasound pictures and stuff. I didn't know what they were supposed to look like. Now I'm like, oh, that was so clearly, like, problematic. Hmm. And she was like, I can't really tell the gender. Like, your placenta might be in the way. I'm like, okay. Legally, these places are not allowed to tell you anything medical. All they can do is if they notice that there is no heartbeat, they can say, you need to go to the hospital. That's, like, literally all they can do. So at this point, and if I didn't say at that, because this story obviously flusters me, at that scan, my mom and Sean were both there because my mom was paying for everything at this point because I was just, that was all she could do to help me. And so I look up this place, like, actually around here, I look up this place, and it's a doctor from India, and because they're, like, sonographers, they're just, like, they can't tell you. So anyway, I'm like, okay, like, let's go there. I'm like, that seems like a good place, had really good reviews, so it's a long drive up here. Nobody really says anything in the car because we're all thinking the worst. And then we get there, and she does the scan, and you'll never understand how thankful I am that this woman risked her, that's why I can never say where I went, because mm-hmm. she risked her job, her business, her everything to give me the decency that not a single other fucking person had given me this entire time. And she looked at me right in my face with my mom and Sean sitting right there, and she said, oh, do they tell you this might be Down syndrome? And I said, yeah. And she said, this is not Down syndrome. She said, all these blobs you're seeing are his organs outside of his body, and that's why they couldn't tell the gender, because the genitals were completely obstructed by the organs. So you couldn't really tell what they were, but she said it looked like intestines, or maybe, like, she saw something else. I don't know if that's... Honestly, at this point, I was, like, dying. I literally... Like, it's like the way where your ears ring and you go mm-hmm. deaf mm-hmm. and you literally can't breathe.
You're literally trauma.
Yes. But somehow I could still hear what she was saying, and she said, and I think I know why she was so compassionate about it. And she said this, she pointed to his spine, and this like spine was twisted like a DNA strand. And she said, whatever this is, like the unimaginable pain like he'd have to be in.
Yeah.
Because of like all the shapes, and it was just bizarre. And as soon as she said it, like I could see it too. And she said, you need to terminate now before this ruined your body and like your life, because she said her sister had a very similar situation, obviously not the same degree of disability, right. but like a very similar situation. They elected to go full term, and she watched her sister watch her child die for 30 days. And, you know, she said, my sister endured all the trauma of pregnancy, which, by the way, it's fucking traumatic.
Yeah.
All the trauma of pregnancy, all of this, all of that, just to look at your baby, and the amount of money you're investing, because you will do anything to save the life of your child, absolutely. And the government is just sucking at it out of your fucking hands yep. for your baby to die. So that was obviously really hard. And I don't think I mentioned, real quick, the breast lump, because I thought I would have to get, like, an abortion. I didn't have it checked out. I just was like, fuck that. I'll just, if I get breast cancer, my honest to God feeling was, I will just, it'll have to be what it's going to be. It's my choice, and I will have my baby, and Sean will be a great dad if I die. Like, that was legitimately my thought and my decision. So I didn't have it checked out. So now it's obviously a very somber ride home. And I think that was the first time, like, I actually, like, I was crying a lot, like, in front of Sean, but I hadn't had, like, a breakdown. I had been, like, pretty together. And at this point, I fucking lost my mind. Like, I just, sometimes you just gotta get those tears out, like, that ugly guttural cry where you're just, like, you're so angry and your mind needs a second to realize there's nothing you can do about it.
Yep.
And in that weird suspended time, you're just, like, fucking dying. It's so bizarre. Sorry, I'm trying to get through this. Our episode's still at a good time point, but this is, it's important. So I'm trying to truck through. So I'm like, okay. So at this point, like, my mom's crying. Sean looks like someone literally just stabbed him in the stomach. And, you know, I kind of feel bad. I do feel bad for partners in a very unique way, in that they, I think a partner who truly loves you is very hurt by the fact that they can't understand what you're going through and that they can't help you. I could see in Sean's face that he hated that he couldn't physically swap bodies with me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because it's a fucking burden.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very specific thing that should be up to no one but the person living it. Anyway. So at this point, I'm gonna go into, like, the actual abortion. So, like, for real, if you're squeamish, like, this is your last chance. So, to find out I have to get an abortion, because my mom was kind enough to, at this point, get all the money together for the final scan with the doctor. And let me tell you about American healthcare. Not a single person said a single thing to me. They came in. I said, I was told that my child is inviable. She put that thing on my stomach and said, mm-hmm, I see that. Never once did a single person offer to do a test, offer to help me understand what to do. And you have to understand, I'm in deep trauma. I'm not thinking of anything other than the next step. So now I'm like trying to dissociate from this child that I'm obsessed with, that I'm in love with, and I'm trying my best to dissociate. And this bitch is just like, blah, blah, blah. Here's their foot, and here's their hand, and here's their fucking twisted spine. Like, I needed that picture.
Thank you.
And then my mom is like trying to ask them questions, and I'm like telling her no, because at this point, like, there's nothing anybody's gonna say. All I ever needed to hear was that he was in pain. That was irreversible. And my decision was that no matter how painful this would be for me, all I cared about was ending his pain. And that was just how it was going to be. So I set up this abortion for nearly $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the dignity of being able to go to a hospital. I was extremely uneducated about abortions and about what's available for women. And I fucking assure you, I don't care how bad a woman doesn't want a child, not a single soul enjoys that shit.
Mm-mm.
That is so, this situation was so fucked. And I know mine's like, I mean, I'm one person. Can you imagine how many people have stories like the one I'm about to tell? Like, I can't. So I go to this initial abortion appointment. I have no idea what to expect because I never anticipated being in the situation.
Yeah.
So they call me back and I'm like, oh, can my mom come with me? Because Sean had to work that day, so my mom went with me. And the lady was like, no, we can't have any family back here because family members attack the patients trying to get abortions. They have family members or partners that will, like, attack them, try to beat them, try to pull them out of the abortion clinic. So you have to go back alone. So I'm like, fuck, okay. So I go in the room and I'm like, hey, she was just, like, making small talk maybe. And, I think she made a comment about, like, the fact that I was so far along. Because at this point, I was about 17 and a half weeks. And I was like, well, oh, like, we did IVF and this is the story. And she looked at me and she said, girl, go get your mom. And it was, like, the first compassion anybody had shown me. That's where the compassion ends, by the way.
Mm.
But it was the first compassion anyone had shown me. So in my mind, I knew I needed the abortion. Like, I knew whatever. But I thought this was an information appointment. Well, the doctor comes in, he hands me a pill. They wouldn't let me leave unless I took it. So I'd already paid for the abortion and it's non-refundable, BT dubs. And he was like, no, you have to take this and it'll stop your pregnancy. So had I known that, I would have pushed harder for Sean to come versus like, which I don't even know that they would have let him back there, which we'll get into. But, you know, I feel so like assaulted and robbed of my choice because I wasn't prepared to make that decision, but also knew like we couldn't afford a second abortion cost.
Mm-mm.
For me to go say goodbye and like do what I wanted to do. So I took the medicine. That was like, okay. So they tell me what to expect. They send me home with this fucking massive diaper. And they're like, come back tomorrow at 7. And you might feel your water break tonight. They gave me an additional couple pills that I had to take in the morning and like hold in my cheeks and like under my tongue. And that was supposed to put you into labor. So I was like, all right. So I wake up the next morning. I get my diaper on and I'm like, ooh, I'm bleeding. I put the medicine in under my tongue and it is the most bitter, disgusting, foul shit. So I'm grieving, I'm depressed, I'm having an abortion, I am literally having an out-of-body experience, I'm bleeding, I'm wearing a diaper. It was just like the most serene, like it was weird. So I'm like, okay, I'm bleeding. Newsflash, at this time I was like 30, so I know what blood is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep that in mind.
Mm.
So my mom and Sean planned to go with me. So I pack an extra outfit because they told me to. And for some reason, when I asked Sean to pack my underwear, he packed me a thong. And we're just going to look at that as like a comedy. It's not. But he did.
God bless him.
A G-string.
Oh.
Just a string.
I mean.
Just. Bitch, I'm 16 weeks pregnant.
No.
17. I don't even know.
Why would that even exist?
And I had a huge stomach because of the IVF. My ovaries were distended, so my stomach looked like I was fucking about to give birth. So anyway, I really gotta wrap this up. So, I get there, I check in, expecting that my husband and I are gonna go back, and he's gonna sit with me while I have this abortion that is already started. No matter what, at some point, the baby's coming out. So I'm like, okay. He's not allowed back there because other women are going to be back there getting abortions and it's for privacy. He can't be back there. And as much as I'm literally traumatized. I think immediately in my head, like, this is my first child and I'm going to have to do this alone. Like, okay. And then I'm just thinking, but you know what? The other women, like, they deserve their privacy. Like, just focus on that. I go back. They put me in this room with not a single other soul. By the way, the rest of the time I was there, which was hours, there was not a single person in that room that was not a staff of that facility. So they put me in this weird rocking chair that has, like, puppy pads on it or whatever. So in case, like, anything happens, and I say, hey, by the way, I'm bleeding, like, quite a bit. And they look at me and say, oh, no, you're not. That's just your water breaking. I said, no, like, it's red. It's blood. Oh, that's just your mucus plug. This is your first baby. It's going to be hours before you go into labor. And I guess they, like, want you to go into labor first and then they, like, get the rest. I don't fucking know. I was too traumatized to ask. So I'm like, okay, well, where's the doctor? Oh, he'll be here later because this is your first pregnancy and it'll take a really long time. Well, they didn't factor in the fact that even though, like, he was still alive, he was so far in, like, down in my uterus, like, he was probably already on his way to, like, stillbirth, to be honest. I just didn't realize it at the time. So I'm like, okay, so then I start to violently shake and vomit from the medicine. Like, when I say violent, I am profusely projectile vomiting, like, every 10 seconds for, like, a good 10 minutes. And I'm trying to say to them in between, but, like, each time I'm projectile vomiting, I feel blood gushing out of my body. And I finally, like, stop throwing up for a second, and I'm like, and the lady, like, tries to talk to me, and she's like, oh, yeah, the medicine, like, it can make you really have, like, bad GI stuff, whatever. And I'm like, okay. And she literally goes, we can give you a Xanax. Now, prior to my weed smoking, because
that would be helpful for you.
I don't take any type of drugs. Like, I don't take anything except for Excedrin.
Xanax is intense.
And my family has really bad drug addiction. I think I've said that before. Yeah. So she's like, we can give you a Xanax. I'm like, bitch, no. I was like, but every time I vomited, I felt blood gushing out. And she literally said, it's just your water. And I said, okay, well,
They didn't even check?
I said, I want to go to the bathroom then. So I'm just wearing it. I think I'm wearing, like, a t-shirt, my fucking diaper, these sweatpants, and flip-flops. Because I was like, whatever. It was September. So I literally stand up, and the one nurse goes, oh, my God. And I turn around, and the entire pad on the chair is soaked through with blood, and I feel this giant clot fall out of me, roll down my pants, and plop out on my flip-flop. It was the size of a tennis ball, and they just kept saying, ah, that happens. And I said, okay.
Okay, what?
And I said, are you going to call the doctor now? Because, like, I'm bleeding a lot. And she said, yeah, but it's still going to be a couple hours. Like, this is normal. It's fine.
I'm about to punch this bitch in her face.
And I'm like, she was, what? It gets so much worse. So I'm like, okay. So at this point, I go to the bathroom. And wouldn't you know it, like, fuck it, we're knee deep into this. I start getting diarrhea. So now I'm sitting on the toilet. Blood is everywhere. I pull my pants down. There's blood all down my legs, on my feet, like, in my fucking ass crack. Like, it is everywhere. It's all over the toilet seat. It's everywhere. And I tell her, I'm like, I'm getting blood everywhere. So she hands me some, like, wet wipes, and I am literally trying to wipe myself, and now there are chunks of blood all over my arm and my hand. I know it's gross, but this is American healthcare. This is the real thing. This is what guys think we just want to do. Like, yeah. I hope you're fucking uncomfortable. Just, yeah, I hope
I'll just
you are.
Go do that.
I hope you're embarrassed that you can take a citizen who's killing themselves, who missed one payment, and do this. And imagine all the people who aren't as fortunate as me who could afford it. This just happened to me by happenstance. By happenstance. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I paid $900 for this. Because, you know, I'm a light person. I can make dark humor out of anything. And I am trying this day, man. I am trying. So now I am getting sick on the toilet. I'm getting blood everywhere. And I'm finally done. And I go to stand up. And I'm like, I need another diaper thing. And I take mine off. And there's just, like, blood everywhere. And she's like, here you go. And I'm like, I need help. I have been vomiting at this point and bleeding for 45 minutes. I'm exhausted. Yeah. And I'm like, there's blood all over the toilet. And she literally gives me shit to clean it up. So I turn around and I'm cleaning myself and I'm cleaning. I can't even cry right now because I'm so angry. And I'm cleaning this toilet. And then I think to myself, I'm cleaning, like, my baby's blood off of this public toilet by myself in this abortion clinic. What the fuck is my life? And I'm like, fuck that. I slam that down, and I'm like, I need a new diaper. She hands me one, and I'm like, no, I need you to help me put it on, and I'm not cleaning this. And I was so mad. So then they take me back to the room, and I was like, are you going to call the doctor now? And they said, no. And I said, okay. So at this point, I start to cry. I start to hyperventilate, and I'm freaking out so bad. And then I start vomiting, and they're like, you have to take the Xanax. They literally practically force fed it to me, and they were like, you need to calm down. You need to calm down. I, at this point, lost all sense of dignity. I am begging them to get Sean. I am crying, and they're like, no, he can't come back here, but we can get you new clothes. At which time, they bring me back the thong. So it turns out that this story is so, we're going to have to put extra warnings on it, because Maddie literally twice since we started filming was like, oh, I'm about to pass out, and had to lay down. And the second time I was like, are you squeamish about like Lon? And she was like, oh yeah. You fucking dumb bitch. Why you just let me get on and on and on? And I know
my body is physically shutting down.
That's how I felt that day.
No.
I was like, oh my
god. I can't even like imagine the stress and anxiety and
it's a unique pain experience that you have
had to go through.
No, I was just telling Maddie, like, I think probably at this point most women have this innate ability to just like separate an emotional feeling from like a story. So yeah. I'm not a cold person. I'm it's obviously just a trying survival to get through technique. This. Yeah. And I know it's going to be uncomfortable. You know what else is uncomfortable? Having your rights taken away.
Yeah.
That's uncomfy. So, they give me the Xanax. At this point, I'm throwing up so bad. Like, they've given me a trash can. They see that every time I'm throwing up, the same situation is going on. And I hear the one lady whisper, I really think we should call someone.
I'm done with them.
So did fear you not sets think in. That fear before? Sets in. And I'm like, okay, so like they now are finally acknowledging that I know what I'm talking about with my body, right? Finally acknowledging it.
Thank you.
It didn't matter.
Thank you for reading the room.
So then I have to go to the restroom again, and more of the same. And this time she like left the stall door open because I don't take Xanax, so I started to pass out. So I was nodding out and like trying to, you know, go through this second round.
Per what my body was just doing, just simply giving up.
Correct. So she has a stall door open and she's kneeled down in front of me, so now she's staring directly into my vag hole.
No. As
whatever. At this point, I don't give a fuck. At this point, like, any care I've ever... No. And at this point, I'm going to be honest, like, this is probably the only time in my life that, like, a genuine... I don't want to say the S word thought popped into my head, but it was, like, the only time in my life I ever remember being, like, that might be better. Like,
that?
Unaliving might be better. Like, it was so... I was so... To be physically ill and, like, mentally ill and, like, all I keep thinking is, like, the birth of my child and my husband's not here. So then I look at her and I say... I have to push. And you always hear women say that, by the way, when they're talking about it. I had never experienced it. And she fucking said, no, you don't. And I said, please, I want to get up. I have to push. I can't, I don't know how to explain it. Your body fucking knows. Like, your body knows when you have to take a shit, ma'am. I don't know. It like, knows it needs to come out. So she doesn't let me get up. And I said, okay, he's coming out. So I had decided he was a boy because I had a dream he was a boy, so I refer to him as a he. But it's just, listen, it's the only thing that makes me feel bonded is giving, like, an identity to him. So don't come for me about the picking his identity. It's not for that reason. I want something to associate and to, like, think of besides this story.
You have that right.
So surely, much like every other part of the story, I feel myself give birth on the toilet. And that... I think that's the moment in this next, like, section. This is, like, this almost killed me. So I feel it, and I'm like, oh, my God. I'm, like, thinking all these weird thoughts, like, oh, my God. This is, like, that thing when they didn't know they were pregnant. They just give birth on a toilet, and I'm like, oh, my God. My child is in the toilet. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I said, he just came out. And she said, okay, let me look. And she literally, like, put her hand on my, like, back and, like, kind of pushed me up off the seat so she could look in the toilet. And she, without even looking at me, goes, yeah, it happens sometimes, and flushes the toilet. Flushes it. She not once asked me if I wanted to see him, not once asked me if I wanted his body, because in our state, if you are under 20 weeks, it is considered, it's like medical waste, essentially. So my child that I wanted dearly, you good?
Yes.
Okay. Now that people know, we can talk about this. I try to bring it to a more reasonable pace, but y'all needed to know. Yeah. So my child who I wanted dearly is gone. I now am at the part where like this situation is over. So my brain immediately is thinking of all the things it should have thought about if I wasn't traumatized. Like, how am I going to bury him? Which, by the way, the cemetery won't let me do because I don't have a body. Yeah, correct.
Great.
Correct. 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 So I don't have a place I can go to. I don't have anything except for this little stuffed toy with his heartbeat in it that the lady who wouldn't tell me what was wrong, like, made for me. And I'm like, cool, 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 cool. So we go back to the room, and finally the doctor gets there. And at this point, she had, like, taken my pants off and my diaper and put my thong on me. And I don't know why, and I don't even know when it happened. I was, like, starting to black out a little bit because I was so high off the Xanax. So I was like, okay.
Xanax will fuck you up.
So they walk me into the actual exam room, which they don't sedate you for this, by the way. They go clean in from the people in my life that I know that have had, you know, that experience. Maybe that's not everywhere, but I know several people where it's just like, here's some Xanax. Like, that's a real thing. So I finally, they put me in this, like, on like a, like you would see at a gynecologist, like a regular like hospital bed thing. And the doctor, they're like, the doctor's gonna be here any minute. So I'm sitting on this thing in a thong and a t-shirt covered in my own blood. Sorry, B word.
It's okay.
Are you sure? Yes. You need another lemon bundt cake?
Maybe. After this.
Okay.
For sure.
And I start throwing up again. I start feeling sick. And I'm like, I find my own trash can. And I start throwing up. And the lady walks by. And finally, she was like, are you good? And I was like,
no.
Whatever. Like, I had no soul left. Like, I swear my soul jumped out somewhere and then came back later. And I just hear her go, we need to get the doctor in there. Like, she's not okay. Like, why did it take all of
this? Why did it take that long?
The only merciful thing about this entire situation was at this moment, the doctor comes in. He's like, okay, lay back. And I don't know if I went into shock or what happened, but I passed out. I passed out for the entire procedure. I don't know if it was like a mercy killing, if that was when my soul left my body. I'm not sure, but I did pass out. And literally, Sean said, while I was... let me back up. I remember, like, kind of being in and out of consciousness after, and I was having really bad contractions because your uterus after, like, you know, it wants to get back into shape.
Right.
So I was having really bad contractions that would wake me up, like, from being passed out. And Sean literally said, like, they opened the side doors. He saw me covered in my own blood, like, and my clothes covered in blood. And they just pushed me into him. And he just, like, he said I was, like, alert enough to walk to the car, but he could tell I wasn't going to remember anything. And then, you know, then I go home and I wake up to just all this trauma. And then, like, my stomach is super, super flat. And I just have, like, this feeling of emptiness. And it's just, like, I don't know. It's just, like, the saddest thing. And then I had to let the milk in my boobs dry up, which, by the way, is the most excruciating pain in the world. So every time I would try to get over it a little bit, I would be reminded when I would leak milk. And I just could not function at this point. I'm hysterical. By the way, white men, remember, this is what we want, right? We want to do this to ourselves. Just for fun, rather. Mm. For fun. This is fun for us. So that was that. I really just, like, can't even go any more into it. Like, there's really nothing else to say. It caused trauma that I can never undo. It caused a strain in my relationship because even though I know it wasn't Sean's fault, he couldn't be present. I was so angry that I had to do it myself and that our first child was treated like literal medical waste. Like, I can't, you can do things with kindness and dignity. It doesn't have to be like that.
No, it doesn't.
I then proceeded to get the breast lump checked out, found out through ultrasound that they let me see when they shouldn't have, that it was super suspicious, then had to get a breast biopsy, which thank God was benign. But what the fuck, America?
It is
what the fuck
beyond saving.
And like, so what? What? And then, by the way, I received messages from women. Not how are you doing? How are you feeling? Articles of how our baby could have lived with disabilities and we just didn't want them because he was disabled. To which I promptly let them know, no, having your spine twisted like a DNA strand and your intestines so far out of your body, you can't see your fucking genitals. I think we're a little beyond reproach at this point. And you know what? I also am not going to judge if you do want to go to term. If you had been me in that situation and you want to go to term and you want to have your baby and you want to let your baby die in your arms, it's none of my business. It's no one's business but you, and if you choose, the person who put that baby in you. Period. Point blank period. So think long and hard about if you want to be charged with a felony for going through what I went through. To go through that, and then you get arrested at the end and go to prison by yourself because you didn't want your child to suffer.
Yep.
So you suffered unbearable. And you don't need a reason. Like, I have this traumatic story and that's, like, it is what it is. But you don't need a fucking reason. Mm-mm. You just don't. Period. Just like guys don't need a reason to fucking jerk off in a socks like perverts. We just do what we want to do because it's our bodies. You want to fucking flap your noodle? Go ahead. I don't give a shit. None of us give a shit because we all know, and men know, that we're the superior. We're way more intelligent.
That's very true.
Literally, women in the Bible, yet again, took care of the whole ass house and they just sent their husbands off to war to fucking die, and then they would just like recycle and get new ones. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, not Sean. He can stay forever. He has accepted every part of me, and he's obviously seen some shit at this point. Like, he is bespoke to me.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry I made everybody uncomfy, but I hope it really makes you think hard. Hard.
It's important. And just to end it on this fact, before Roe versus Wade, an estimated 1.2 million women in the U.S. had to resort to illegal abortions every single year, resulting in as many as 5,000 deaths annually.
Like, to the women?
Yeah.
It's just no matter what your reasoning, no matter what your viewpoint, you can't take away rights. We act like we are the best country in the fucking world, but we care so little for our own people. Mm-hmm. We're so worried about keeping immigrants out and keeping our... What for? What for? You don't care about who you have here already.
Literally.
You don't care, period. You just want to fucking... The money you spend on your little cages and your little fences, maybe you could put it into, I don't know, sponsoring an abortion. No, you just let the people stand outside with pictures of fucking aborted fetuses. Like, I don't know that I have to bear the responsibility of killing my child for the rest of my life. Yes. Do I believe that in the stage I was in? Like, yeah, I saw his little feet, his little hands, his little heartbeat. Yeah. I had to make a choice. Did that choice result in the death of my child? Yes. And I made that choice. Just like, I'm sorry, I kind of support humane euthanasia because I make the choice for my animals all the time. Like, why does somebody have to suffer?
I don't know.
Like, why?
No, because that there was that famous case in the early 2000s. Remember that? The woman who was in a vegetative state and her family was insisting on keeping her alive, even though there was no chance of anything.
They made a Grey's Anatomy episode on it because she was pregnant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did a Grey's Anatomy episode about it, and I was fucking sick to my stomach. Because it was like, it was her parents, and it was like, that could be my grandkid. Like, your child is dead. Like, what? I hate people. The point is, everyone needs to do better. Think of your friends, your sisters, your coworkers, your parents, your aunts, all the shit. Just, you need to support them right now. You need to do better. Because everybody wants to get on Twitter, and everybody wants to get on the internet, and they all have a point of view, and they all have a stand.
An opinion. But
who's doing anything? Who's doing anything? Because I didn't do anything when this happened to me. I said, oh, okay, that's how it is. I'll just take my trauma. I didn't do a thing. I didn't go to the abortion clinic and see if some girl needed me to hold her hand. I didn't go see if some 14-year-old girl needed money because she couldn't afford it and now I've recovered financially. I haven't gone and shooed away the fucking bitches out there and the Karens with their signs. What have I done? I haven't done anything, and I lived it. So I know for a fact we all need to do better if that's the case. Because we're just letting it happen. We're just letting it happen, and we're talking about it, but nobody's doing anything. Well, that's not true. I'm sure some people are doing something. You know what I mean? I was trying to be dramatic. It was for flair. Yes. I'm sorry this one wasn't funny, but the next one is going to be even less funny. R.I.P. I have nothing more to say. I'm now anxious rambling, so.
Yeah. Well, on that note.
Bye.
Bye.